The fourth case for today is appeal number 04-2135, Lee v. Gonzalez, and this case is submitted on the briefs and will be decided by the court in due course. We proceed then to the fifth case on the docket today, appeal number 04-3708, Myron v. Gonzalez. Mr. Perkins.
Good morning, Your Honor. Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Robert Perkins, and I represent the petitioner in this case, Mr. Miron. This case is about a motion to reopen that was filed on Mr. Miron's behalf that was denied by the Board. When we filed the motion, we conceded that the motion was filed more than 90 days after the conclusion of proceedings. However, we asked the Board to excuse the late filing under specific regulation, 8 CFR section 1003.2A, and we also asked the trial attorney to join in the motion. In our motion, we explained to these bodies that, in essence, our client had nowhere to go after the deportation order became final against him. He had applied to try to go back to his country, Romania, but could not because the Romanian government no longer considered him a citizen of that country. In addition, we explained to the board, as well as the trial attorney, that our client had applied for legalization under the LIFE Act, which allows illegal immigrants to get status or adjust their status in the United States if they obtain a certification from the Department of Labor. Even if they're illegal, they may do so. And we explained also that that certification had been applied for in 2001 before the deportation order became final. This court recently, about a year ago, in a case called Subban versus Ashcroft, which is 383 F3rd 591, in a similar case, interpreted some of the provisions of the LIFE Act in the context of a motion to continue and said, look, administrative agencies, you know, if somebody has this right as an illegal to get their status under the LIFE Act, then they ought to be given that right, and that right ought not to be thwarted by an administrative agency. In Subban, one of the things that this court zeroed in on was the fact that there was no explanation for the administrative agency's decision beyond the obvious, well, you haven't gotten your certification yet. In this case also, we would contend that our motions had no explanation beyond the obvious. Well, you filed them more than 90 days after the conclusion of the administrative proceeding. Well, we conceded that that was the case, and we in fact filed those motions citing provisions that said, okay, you can excuse this late filing. Because
is that a discretionary excuse?
Typically, this is considered a matter of discretion. However, Your Honor, we would contend that in this particular case that there was a failure to exercise discretion at all, and that there really was no decision made beyond restating an obvious fact. There was a case that came out last week that, you know, talked a little bit about the board and the fact that there should be some minimum standard of justice or reasoning that goes beyond that explains what the decisions are. That case is called, just pulled this, Ben Slimane, excuse my pronunciation, and it's 2005 U.S. App Lexus 26048. There has to be some, if you're an administrative body that by law, you know, our applicant, my client, paid money to petition that body, you know, saying, okay, I'm late, but excuse the lateness because of these facts. I have U.S. citizen kids. I couldn't leave the country, and I qualify under this act. And the only response you get back is, well, okay, you're late. Then what quality of justice is that?
In any case which requires them to the board to give any reasons for their discretionary decisions?
Well, I think the Subban case
no,
does.
No, do you have one that says that they have to give a reason for exercising their discretion?
The Subban case basically says what the court did in that case.
What does it say?
Well, it said that because Section 245I of the Immigration Act was at issue there.
Mm-hmm.
It said that reasons should have been given beyond the obvious reasons.
A discretionary decision.
That was the court conceded that it was a discretionary decision in that it was a decision as to whether or not to grant a continuance. And the court said that, if we didn't reconcile 8 U.S.C. Section 1255I with the jurisdictional statute that way, then the administrative body could, with impunity, violate Section 245I of the Immigration and Nationality Act. And in this case, I was thinking a little bit about this, too. You know, what do you tell this client? You know, his asylum case was affirmed without any opinion. You get the client in your office, you explain to him, okay, we're filing it under this provision which allows late filing, and no reasons are given. And to me, that, you know, they pay a fee to the board and everything else, and they're going, you know, if they go back to their country, you know, what are they supposed to say? Oh, well, you know, why weren't you able to stay in the U.S. after 12 years and having U.S. citizen children and so forth? Well, I don't know. Is that the kind of, you know, to me, that doesn't really say too much about...
Simple answer is they wouldn't let me.
I suppose that could be an answer, but I think the law requires a little bit more per the decision in Subban. I have nothing further, and I see that my time is out. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay. Ms. Edison.
May it please the Court, my name is Kristen Edison for the Attorney General. Notwithstanding petitioner's arguments, this case can be decided on a narrow issue. Specifically, what the Court must decide is whether the Board abused its discretion in denying petitioner's motion to reopen, which was filed almost 2 years after petitioner was ordered removed. Under the INA and the regulations, petitioner was required to file his motion to reopen within 90 days of the final order of removal. And in this case, that was June 24th, 2002. It's undisputed that the motion was filed out of time, and petitioner carried a very heavy burden in establishing that reopening was warranted. He didn't carry that burden in this case. The board denied the motion as untimely, and it wasn't an abuse of discretion to do so. Also, notwithstanding petitioner's arguments, the timeliness finding is dispositive in petitioner's case, so the board wasn't required to address the arguments the petitioner made in his motion to reopen. Finally, petitioner's arguments before this court don't demonstrate that the board abused its discretion in denying his motion to reopen. I'd just like to quickly address, first, petitioner's request for sua sponte reopening. By its definition, sua sponte reopening isn't something that an alien can request. Therefore, there was no request as a matter of law, and the board wasn't required to address this issue. Second, regarding petitioner's reliance on the INS policy memo that was in the record, this memo doesn't provide any legally enforceable rights for petitioner, and it merely provides some considerations that the DHS attorney can make, and it doesn't compel a certain outcome. Absent further questions from the court, I will conclude and ask the court to deny the petition for review for the foregoing reasons.
Okay. Mr. Perkins.
Now, regarding the sua sponte motion, honorable opposing counsel had cited to a case called Pilch. The Pilch case was decided, by the way, before Subban, and the issues in Subban regarding the 245I and the Life Act were arguably not in play there. And secondly, here the respondent specifically asked the board to reopen under 8 CFR section 1003.2, which states that any party affected by the decision may petition the board. So I think those are two important things in this case. And again, I also wanted to mention that, like in the Subban case, The petitioner here was very diligent. He did not have the labor certification 90 days after the board had made its ruling. The Subban court noted, you know, that the petitioner in that case had been very diligent about trying to get certification and that the wheels of bureaucracy sometimes wind slow, which is the case here as well. And it wasn't a case where the petitioner could have left. So I think even I'm not sure how the court's ruling will go, of course, but that particular fact makes this case very unique in its fact that the petitioner had nowhere to go at the point that the board made its ruling and thereafter, and still does not. Thank you, Your Honors. If you have no further questions.
Okay. We will take this matter under advisement.